All right, let's get started. My name's Stephen Borg, and we're going to be talking about hybrid ALM and this path to a more agile enterprise by combining TFS and VSO, so Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Online. So we're going to do a couple things. We're going to sketch out some differences between the two. We'll be talking a little bit about the strengths of VSO versus TFS, and the strengths of TFS versus VSO, and then we'll get into some integration scenarios. But before I get there, how many of you have a VSO account? Good chunk. How many have an MSDN subscription? More. Now, if you happen to have an MSDN subscription, when you sign up for VSO, you get 5 free users or whatnot, but you don't count against that. And anybody who has an MSDN subscription does not count against your free users, if you will. I belong to, 25 or 30 different VSO accounts just on projects I've worked on. Lastly, I want to plug one more thing, which is your Azure benefits. If you happen to have MSDN, you get anywhere between, I'm going to put it in U.S. currency, but $50 for a professional. What's it? 75 euro for the professional? Man, we're getting ripped off in the States. Or for premium? Okay. So you get 75 euro for premium. I'm guessing 50 euro for professional and 100 euro for 125 for ultimate. So if you have that subscription, that's your Azure stuff. And we show a little bit on here, but I just wanted to bring that up right at the get-go. There's actually a table here. You can just go right to here, but there's a table down in the booth, too. It's worth swinging by and signing up. Okay, that's enough about that. Couple housekeeping things. Don't forget your evals, if you would. They're an important part. They're metrics that the speakers are rated on. And it's a decision on whether or not this is the right topic to be covering. So if it's not, let them know. Or if it is. Here's our kind of quick walkthrough. Why application lifecycle management? We're going to talk through several integration scenarios as an introduction. We'll do a Team Foundation Server versus Visual Studio Online comparison. We'll go back to the integration scenarios and do some demonstrations and discussions. And we'll kind of wrap it up with questions. To start, everywhere at this conference, you've been probably hearing fast feedback, fast cycle times. If you go to Azure, you can deploy in minutes. If you use this tool, you can monitor things effectively and find differences in seconds. If you use all of the vendors help you get somewhere faster. In software development, that's key for us as well. We want to get really, really fast. So I'm going to walk through this just briefly. This is kind of a circle, if you will, of what we're trying to do. We need to plan, lay out our plan fairly effectively as to what we're going to build, hit this develop and test session, get it released to production, and learn from it as quickly as we can. And that cycle, we want to shorten that cycle to as fast as we possibly can. You want feedback very, very rapidly if possible. If you're interested in feedback, I did another session on metrics, but the goal is for us to work on something small enough that we can get it through this life cycle very, very quickly. Now, that's where TFS and Visual Studio Online shine. They handle that end-to-end lifecycle. But there's things that are strengths of both of those different frameworks. Here's the world we're in today. I've had a couple questions about Visual Studio Online and TFS. What if we have development teams that are on Java? Will it work? Or what if we're using the Business Intelligence Development Studio? Will it work? And the answer is absolutely. Both Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Online simply treat your source code as text. They don't do anything other than that. So whatever you're writing in, it can handle it. I do At Northwest Cadence, we do development in both Python and .NET, are our two languages. Handles them both marvelously. But we're in this world where we're trying to get this very fast feedback, building things in the cloud, social engagement. And those sorts of things require this really fast feedback cycle. But we're constrained because we've got teams that are all over the world. We've got teams that aren't just sitting in one room together. We've got teams that are made up of different types of individuals. You might have testers, developers, operations, all on the same team. We're looking at agility and being able to very rapidly deploy. So this gives us a reason for looking at things like Visual Studio Online in the cloud. Here's a few integration scenarios. I think the best one is the one that's not integration at all, which is TFS or Visual Studio Online. I'll talk about the pros and cons of both, but if you have to integrate the two, you're adding some additional overhead and complexity to your development process. So if Team Foundation Server works beautifully for you and you need the features of TFS and the VSO features aren't quite compelling to integrate, stick with TFS. If you can move all the way to Visual Studio Online and you don't need some of the TFS features, stay in Visual Studio Online. That's a very simple, easy way to do it. However, this talk is about those needs when we do have to integrate. So we integrate because we want the features of both. That's one of the most common reasons to integrate. Another is you have external teams. Sometimes you cannot expose your TFS server to the internet for one reason or another. It could be compliance reasons. It could be security reasons for your company. But you still want to have offshore development teams or outsourced development teams have access to a subset of your source code and a subset of your bugs so that they can help contribute to the software without you opening up all of your intellectual property to the world. So that's one of the reasons. Another is open source. And in open source here, there's a couple different meanings. There's just truly open source. Your company might have open sourced a core piece of functionality so that the world is working on it and you leverage that. Red Hat is here. Red Hat contributes substantially to the Linux kernel, but they also accept contributions from the community so that they can build their business on top of that. You might have that same model. But you also might just be looking for a somewhat open source paradigm where you may have development teams spread around the world, your partners may have development teams, and you want to give them permission to access the source code and to make contributions, but you still want to control what goes into production. That sort of development paradigm is supported through the integration very cleanly. You might be integrating because you are the external team. Are there any consultancies here or outsourced development folks? All right. You guys get pulled in to do software development oftentimes externally to your client. And if you're doing that externally, you may want to expose them to what's happening so they can see your code evolving, they can see it being built and deployed, but you may not have access directly to their TFS servers. So you or their database, or I mean their whatever their ALM tool is, if it's Jira or whatnot. But on the same token, you don't want all of that code that's in Visual Studio Online to be lost, or the history. So you may pull that down into your corporate TFS server. So your customers are seeing the Visual Studio Online, but you're replicating all of that data down locally so you don't lose that experience and that knowledge. So those are just a few of the integration scenarios. Let's look at TFS versus VSO for the first one. And let's start with Visual Studio Online. This is kind of the difference. And I want to be clear of what these are. Team Foundation Server handles things like your source code, agile planning, team rooms, feedback, test case management. So does Visual Studio Online. So to define Visual Studio Online, we might think of it as TFS in the cloud plus some additional services. So it's basically a lighter version of Team Foundation Server hosted in the cloud plus some additional services. And some of those services are here in blue, and Team Foundation Server has some of these services that are not available in Visual Studio Online. Some of them, like load testing, kind of split. We can do them in both, but not quite as well in Visual Studio Online. Here's that cycle again. And before we get to demos, some of the things that are only VSO are listed in bright blue. Cloud-based load testing, browser-based IDE, application insights, automated builds, and continuous integration to Azure out of the box. But we can do the same thing with TFS, but it's more work to get it done. Another distinction. TFS, you pay for a client access license or you have MSDN subscription. In the cloud, it's pretty much a pay-as-you-go service. You can use some of these services and you pay by the minute that you're doing builds or by the virtual user minute that you're doing testing. And here are the things that they both do. If you're trying to track an Agile software development team, just track it. Just what's happening in my Agile software development team? Both of them do it brilliantly through work items. Both of them handle version control, and they handle traditional centralized version control through Team Foundation version control, and they handle distributed version control through a support for Git. So you can do either of those. Automated build is available in both of them. Test case management, available in both. Heterogeneous development, both of them. Very easy setup. TFS is now pretty easy to set up, and it allows you to collaborate with anyone. What you cannot do in each of them, and here's where we're going to start getting into the differences and the demonstrations. In TFS, you can customize your work items. So you'll see you may have bug security severity field. You want a drop down that has the security severity. You can add that in TFS on premises. You cannot make customizations currently in Visual Studio Online. That's on the roadmap, but it's not here today. SharePoint integration. If you have SharePoint documents that you want to store, that occurs on TFS Online only. Data warehousing and reporting are built into Team Foundation Server. Not supported in Visual Studio Online, except for very lightweight reports. Another very important thing is that your intellectual property is stored on-premises. There's always sensitivity in organizations to taking their software code and pushing that to somewhere in the cloud. That may be a problem in your organization, it may not. But one of the integration scenarios is you keep all of your source code locally and you do not share that to the cloud, but you use the cloud with integration on work tracking, for instance. Active Directory is supported in TFS. VSO doesn't support Active Directory, but it does support Azure Active Directory. So you can take your VSO account and tie it to an Azure Active Directory and sync your Active Directory with an Azure Active Directory. A little more advanced usage. VSO has application insights. We're going to demo that very briefly. Cloud load testing, elastic build. One of the things I like the most about it is you are always on the latest version and you never have to upgrade yourself. Microsoft does all of the upgrade work. It's software as a service. And they update it every 3 weeks. So you're getting features every 3 weeks in Visual Studio Online. On Team Foundation Server on-premises, they roll those together, and there's an approximate delivery cadence of once every 3 months. Again, it's approximate. you don't install VSO. You just go activate it immediately. You go to the booth downstairs, you'll activate it in, 10 to 15 seconds after you've signed in. It supports REST APIs and webhooks, both of which we will demo. Or we'll demo the webhooks, rather. So those are the VSO differences between the two. Let's take a look at some of those. And for Visual Studio Online, I want to walk through just a couple simple demonstrations. If you haven't seen Visual Studio Online yet, I'm not diving into massive amounts of details. How many of you have never seen it? A few. I'll dive into enough details. How many have seen it a lot? But I'll try not to dive into too many details. We'll hit a balance if we can. This is Visual Studio Online. I'm at the main home page here. I can see my projects and teams. I've got some introductory things. But right at the top, I want to do a load test. A load test is just a way to stress your application. And I can hit load test with VSO Online and build a very simple, rapid load test. This is the load test I'm about to show you is not something you're going to put in production for, you know, for advanced load testing. This is just a very, very simple one. You can do more advanced ones, but watch how easy it is. Who wants me to load test their server? Does anyone have an externally supported server? I'll go ahead and hit mine. We'll just call this my simple load test. You can have spaces in here if you want. I'm going to do 25 users, or let's do 100 users, run duration for 1 minute, and we're going to say that we're about 80% Chrome, 20% IE, and run the test. Why do I want to do this absolutely trivial load test? Predominantly because you may want to just apply a load on the server. I'm just hitting one URL, nothing fancy, but I'm pushing against the server with 100 users, hitting relatively rapidly with a 1 second think time. If I do that, I can start to get a feel for my performance. And it'll go for a little bit. It's spinning it up right now. Soon it'll run. And once it completes, I can simply go out and download. Whoops, let me close that off. I need Outlook open for one of my other demos. Once this completes, I'll be able to very rapidly download my solution file and extend it in Visual Studio on-premises. My Visual Studio on my computer, and then run it back in the cloud. How many of you have never run a load test? How many of you have run a load test? Okay. It was a binary question, didn't get half, so that's all right. If we look at it, and in that, if you haven't run a load test, it's really easy to get started, and then you can start to extend it with further integrations. But this is just a way to test it out. We've got about 13 seconds left before it rolls up. And we'll be getting some results here shortly. I'm hoping shortly. I'm going to Alt-Tab to another tab for just a moment, and we'll come back here in a second. If I move up to my next tab, there's one more thing that you can do, which is your automated builds. Now, you can use your own build controller. Even if you're in Visual Studio Online, you can use a build server that you own and control that's locally inside of your network, or you can use one that's out on the cloud. That's the cloud load test or the cloud build. And if I want to trigger that cloud build, I can simply go and select which one I want to build and queue that build, and you'll notice that I have the hosted build controller. I can run it on that, or I can run it on my on-premises one. I'll run it on the hosted build controller and click OK. And what that will do is it will start off and fire off an automated build, which will build the application and quickly deploy it to Azure. I'm going to come back now. We should be done. And here we have it. Now, my simple load test, context switching back again, there's my requested URL. My average response time was 0.72 seconds. Now, what's interesting is that's running in an Azure website at a particular level of scale. And if you want to see the impact of scaling Azure out to multiple instances, you can easily scale that out, and you'll see the average response time drop fairly dramatically. So I'm at 0.72 seconds. The requests per second handled by the website, 420.6. So a good chunk of requests per second. And we got 320 HTTP errors based off of that. Now, that was a pretty simple load test. So here we can download that load test. It'll pull down the entire solution, and we can show that in the folder and go ahead and extract that to the desktop. And once we're at the desktop, we can simply open up that solution in Visual Studio. And now we have full control over that web test. So we can start to add more complex scenarios. For instance, going through a shopping cart experience, going through the checkout experience. Then we can load those up at various levels. If we look at what that load test looks like, we can see that we've got it right here. Here's my load test. 100% of these, the test mix, the 100% of it's going on this one web test that we built. We can start adding web tests. We can check out the browser mix, et cetera. And if we want to, we can then execute this load test from here. That is going to log us into a Visual Studio Online account. We'll use our TechEd account and click OK. And it will now start to execute that load test using Microsoft's resources. So here's why you want to do that. You start off with that really trivial one if you want, just to kind of get an idea of how your website's responding. Then you build out your real scenario. But rather than have to spin up dozens, potentially, of servers that provide the load, Microsoft does that for you. You can say, I want 15,000 users for 5 hours just hammering my website as hard as they possibly can. And Microsoft will just do that for you. And it's an easy spin-up to make that happen. Anyway, this is off and going. You can see we get a little more data when we're running it from here. But that's that load test as it executes in Azure. And again, once again, it's pushing that load down locally. So this is going to give us a little bit more information about throughput in the application itself. Now, I'm not going to stay, we won't necessarily stay here and look at this load test run once again, but we can flesh it out a little bit more, run it from here, and let Microsoft scale the load. All right, the next piece that's only in Visual Studio Online is something called Application Insights. And if you've ever used something like Google Analytics for a website, you kind of get an idea for what the website stuff in Application Insights looks like. And if you've ever used some of the other tools that dive into the actual code itself and look at the performance of your servers, you kind of have an idea of what Application Insights does. It looks at the performance of your servers down to the hardware level. And then it can look at how your application is being used. This is an example. I'm looking at one called Parts Unlimited. You can see here that we've got an availability percentage of 91.8%. Its performance is up, et cetera. We've had a couple performance events. We have an active alert that we can click into. But we can get a lot of details about that particular project by looking here. If we want to say, look at the servers, look at the alerts, we can see all of that here just by simply moving in and seeing what those alerts look like. It's been healthy for the last 6 hours and 42 minutes, but before then we had an unhealthy behavior, for instance. We can look at the availability of that, and it uses something called a synthetic transaction, which means that Microsoft is spinning up a quick test to reach out to your application, execute something, go to a shopping cart, go do some things, and then come back and say, yes, that service is available. And you can see here how long it's taken and the service outages here. There's an example of a service outage. We had a 21-second response time from the United States, from San Jose, for instance. We can look at performance data and look at the server performance. Here we can see the average response times under load, and we can look at how we are doing as a server. Now, this is interesting because if you happen to be in Azure, this will respect the scale that you use. So you get one view of running across 5 or 10 or 15 servers, for instance. And we can see we had a really bad spike here. We had a problem with our average response time, went way up for a period in that spike. We can see here the request per second also rose at that point in time. We start to get an idea of what's happening in our application. Now, what's interesting about this from that circle perspective is when we do software development, we are making impacts on the IT infrastructure of what we're doing. And we want to see those impacts as quickly as possible. One thing you don't see here, but you might, if I had done a deployment to Parts Unlimited, you would see a little dot up here that would tell me that a new version of the application was deployed at that particular point. So you can see that sort of a thing. Now, that's great from an IT perspective and getting that feedback, but we also may want to see usage scenarios. What features of our application are people using? So we can see here the trend of basically our selected users or how they're hitting it. What are our top page view? So we can see the top pages, for instance. We can see other forms of details like the events. What are the slowest requests? Let's pull into the slowest requests, see if we'll get some data. Here's our slowest requests. This particular request, create edit test settings, it's a blog on VSTS Quality Tools blog site, very slow. Average response time is 45 seconds. It's a very, very slow web page. We can look at let me go back to usage. We can look at things like users, what environment we're looking at, how loyal are the users, when do they come back, all the things that you might have gotten from Google Analytics is just kind of baked in. Application Insights now can be enabled in your application if you host in Azure or if you host locally, if you have a website, by simply clicking a button in Visual Studio and saying Add Application Insights. It'll ask you for a couple pieces of data, it'll log you in, and it'll set up everything so that you have all of this at your fingertips with just one click of a button. Diagnostics is our last page we'll look at. We have some details and data under diagnostics. We can look at various metrics on our system. We can even get streaming data so we can start to just see how things are occurring while they're occurring on the server. That's useful for a developer if a developer wants to just view those streaming pieces of data. Those are three of the primary reasons to be in Visual Studio Online. But there's one more that I think is important, and that's the integration you get with other tools. This is a Trello board. A Trello board is a board that's used to just track tasks. Right? I've got set up one-way integration from TFS to Trello. It's in to-do. I can move that over to doing just by dragging it over, and now I'm in doing. I can add another column right here, but you can see we can just kind of move these things around. Now, I may want to integrate with Trello, so let's go ahead and do that. If we're inside of our Visual Studio Online piece, we can administer our account, and that brings us over here into administration, and we have a whole set of service hooks. And the service hooks allow events and things that occur in Visual Studio Online to sync with something external. So let's set one up. Let's create our first subscription for this project. And here are some of the ones that you can use. Once you go to Zapier, you can go anywhere on the planet. Zapier has like hundreds and hundreds of integrations with things like Gmail and you name it, they've got integrations. HipChat, HubeBot, Jenkins, etc. I'm going to do a link to Trello. And so here we are in Trello, and we'll say next. And it says, we want to trigger the event whenever a new work item is created. And let's say we only want to move features over. Why features? I can make a Trello board broadly accessible by all of our customers. just so they can see what big features we happen to be working on right now. We don't want to expose our bugs. We don't want to expose any other details, just our features. So I can leave it at that and click Next. And we're going to use this action. We're going to create a new card. We're going to get our user token. And that's going to go to Trello and say, can we use it? Can we integrate? Yes. Here's my token. Put my token back in here. And now it'll go out and find which board I want. I want to use TechEd Europe. I want to move it to the to-do list. And let's finish it. So when we finish it, I'm going to simply go back to my stories board, go to features, and say, this is a TechEd Europe demo feature. And add it. And that's going to add it to Visual Studio Online. Now we'll go back to our Trello board, and you'll see that we have now a to-do that's linked directly to it. Now, it's a little ugly in the linking. We can change that if need be. But when you open it up, it's a nice link that brings us right back to that feature so that we can see it if we have permission to see it. Trello's not the only integration. And one of the most important integrations is simply making a REST API call to something. So you can just send out a little packet and have it picked up by any of the services that you might want to build, any integrations you want to build. So that's that service hooks. That's another reason to be in Visual Studio Online. Questions on VSO? I'm going to move right from Visual Studio Online then and move right into the TechEd to the TFS demonstrations. Team Foundation Server has a few things that, and this is a Team Foundation server you see at the top, that we do not get inside of Visual Studio Online. SharePoint integration is one. I'm not going to demonstrate that. You can see that anywhere. But I will show off a custom work item. We have a custom work item type here. And I'm going to put this custom work item type right here at the top. And this will be our TechEd demo user story, and I'll go ahead and add that and assign that to somebody. And notice I've got a drop down here that says internal requester. This is a custom field. It's not available in Visual Studio Online. It's one that we've added. You can make any kind of crazy configurations to TFS that you want. How many here are using TFS? Enough. You probably understand the power of TFS in this place. You can change the workflow. You can change almost everything about the behavior of a work item, the look and feel. In Visual Studio Online, what you see is what you get. You cannot do any customizations yet, even as trivial as adding that field with a dropdown. So here I am. I'm able to select this, and let's use, you know, Dan for an example. We might want to add some details here and save and close this particular work item. It's our TechEd demo user story. If I happen to be in Visual Studio Online and I add the same one, let me give you an example. TechEd user story from VSO. And if I add that one, you'll notice it looks different. It has the slightly new process template that changed from Scrum or Agile 2.2 to 2.3, but I have no changes in my classification. I can't put my internal requester. I just have my raw user story. And the last piece is reporting for TFS. I'm a metrics fan. I absolutely love good metrics and good reports. But you got to pull them from somewhere. And Team Foundation Server has this nice transactional database that every 6 minutes by default is transformed into a data warehouse, a star schema data warehouse that you can query from. And then every hour, that's moved into, by default, you can speed it up, is moved into an OLAP cube. And that OLAP cube provides data over time. You can point Excel to it and get cumulative flow data. You can get all sorts of data from the cube. In Visual Studio Online, you have no access to any of the databases directly. You have to go through the API, for instance. So here's an example, and I've showed these in the reporting one as well. This is an example of a team, a particular team. And I can use the data from TFS. This data is pulled directly from the data warehouse and the OLAP cube, and in some cases, the transactional store. And I can see things like, how is my development going? This is definitely a Scrum team. I can see that it's running at this very sprint-like cadence. It's also a new Scrum team, because you can see the sprint-like cadence is starting to fade as you get over here. We can also look at other backends as well. This one's the executive backend. It's a different type. The production fix team, you can see their cumulative flow. You can see these things, and you can pull that data directly from Team Foundation Server very easily. VSO, not so much. You have what are known as charts, lightweight charts in VSO. So I can write a query and turn it into a chart. But that's all I've got. I can't turn it into anything that has even remotely like this type of data. That's Visual Studio Online, and we also walked through a demo of TFS. So let me go a little further and then ask for thoughts. Thoughts. Which one will you use? Which one would you use if you were starting from scratch? What's that? Online. It's very powerful. It's very easy to use, very easy to set up. I have my preferences. At Northwest Cadence, we are all Visual Studio Online. We've moved our entire company to online. We sync locally so that we can get some metrics pulled out of TFS, but for the vast majority of our work, it's just all done in Visual Studio Online. It's not to say TFS doesn't have its place. Having your IP centrally located, you being able to make sure it doesn't go down, et cetera, is pretty important. Okay, back to some of these integration scenarios. And let's take a look at some of those and maybe see some demos. Let's assume you're on TFS right now, but you want to get to Visual Studio Online to start that integration process. You've got to get your data up there somehow. We'll show you how to do that. We'll talk about this being an external team and the open source piece a little bit later, but let's take a look at some of the tools to migrate. The first one is the OpsHub migration utility. Microsoft helped fund OpsHub to build this migration from TFS to Visual Studio Online. You download it from the Visual Studio, what's the store called? The Visual Studio Store? You download it from Microsoft. Once you get it locally, you run it, you point it at your TFS server, you point it at your VSO server, and you let it run, and it migrates everything for you. Assuming one thing, you have not made any changes to your process template. Ouch. It looks a little like this. I'm going to show it to you in a bit. You provide the endpoint details, the migration details, and you're off and running. Those are the five steps. It literally takes minutes to set up and get you going. It's easy. What it will migrate and what it won't, it'll go from 2010, 2012, and 2013 all the way up to VSO, latest version. You must have standard process templates, and it will grab your version control history, all your work item attachments, all the links between them, keeps all of those together. What it won't migrate, anything from outside of TFS. So SharePoint, not moving, not even supported in VSO. Your builds, your lab environments, team rooms, event history, none of that is there. You have to redo all your security and permissions. You have to redo all of your work item queries and team and personal favorites. and it will not migrate any customized process templates at all. Not only will it not migrate them, it won't make the customization changes, it won't work. So if you've done a change, you're kind of out of luck. If, however, you do have a customized process template, you do need to move security and permissions, you do have other types of things, OpsHub as a company provides tools to do just that, to tie those two together. And if we swap over and take just a really quick look, we can see what that looks like and kind of what that experience feels like. Here's the OpsHub integration, and I want to create a new migration. So I need to select my Team Foundation server endpoint. And notice this needs to run on your network somewhere. It needs access to your TFS server. I'm hosting it in Azure, and I've exposed it to the web. And I want to move it to this TechEd 2013 Visual Studio endpoint. And you could choose to migrate both your work item data and your version control history. Or let's say you want to keep your IP local. You want to just move your work items to the cloud, but keep your source code local, in-house. We could migrate just work item data. It's totally up to you. Click Next. We need to select the appropriate team project to move. I'm going to do the TFS VSO migration. Click Next. It has you map over your users. Just a moment, it'll grab the users. Again, this is probably the hardest part. I deliberately have 5 users in my VSO account for this demo and TFS, so it's pretty easy to move. You may have substantially more, I guess 4. So I'm going to map the Azure unit, the Azure user to myself. MS Guest, I can map that to myself or to Martin. Ops Hub, maybe to the Ops Hub Sync, and the Ops Test to Ops Test, and click Next. At this point, it's going to run a validation, validate that it can make that migration, and at that point, you're off and running. It will take a long time. Not a very long time, but it'll take a considerable amount of time to do the migration, depending on things like bandwidth, etc. So it's ready to go. I click Finish. And the migration occurs. It's going to do a bunch of work. We're not going to watch the work because it does take a while. That's the migration utility. And it's really straightforward. And if you haven't done customizations, it just shoots them straight up there. Now, the big brother to this is the OpsHub integration tool, their integration platform. And let's take a look at that. And it's the integration manager. The integration manager will go between TFS and VSO, but it does a lot more than that. So if you happen to be in an enterprise where you have multiple ALM tools, but you want to keep them all in sync, OpsHub does that type of thing. So if you had, for instance, Jira and Bugzilla, and you wanted to sync those with Visual Studio Online or with TFS, you could do it. Subversion, SmartBear, Mercurial, Version 1, you name it, HP. They have, I don't know how many integration points now, but it's considerable. And you can go from anyone to anyone. They're all bidirectional. So that's another potential tool that you can use. And we're going to take a quick look at the OpsHub Integration Manager, not from an installation perspective. OpsHub can go ahead and do that installation. Northwest Cadence can do it. You can do it. But instead, looking at just the results of that integration. So I'm going to pop over here, and we're going to go back to Visual Studio Online. And notice we had this TechEd demo user story. I'm going to go over to my stories and refresh this page. And now I'm on Visual Studio Online, but I have those two connected. So if I scroll down, you can see I have my TechEd demo user story. And it's already just pulled across for me. Notice, however, that I do not have my customized process template field. I cannot map the internal requester to this one here online in my VSO account. So what do you do if you have to have the data? you fake it. The Ops Hub Integration Manager allows you to do things like append any data and details to some other field. So we could put it in the details view. We could put it at the top and say internal requester colon and the name of that field, potentially. So you can do those sorts of things. But you see that sync occurs. And if we do some kind of update, like TechEd demo user story updated title from VSO, and save and close that, you'll find that that Visual Studio Online data will sync back to TFS, and we'll have an update. Now, there's about a minute lag. We have it set for moving once a minute. But if I go back here to my TFS server, you'll see this is the Visual Studio Team Foundation server. And right at the top, I've got my TechEd demo user story. That's going to update shortly. And at the bottom, my TechEd user story from VSO. One of the things I particularly did, and you may choose to do this differently, I did not move the backlog priority between the two. I chose not to sync the backlog priority so that I can demonstrate that you don't have to sync everything. So you'll notice that they always appear at the very bottom of each other's lists. If I sync the backlog priority, on the other hand, they'll appear in the appropriate columns. They'll appear prioritized appropriately. But this just kind of shows that you don't need to do that. I just hit F5 again, and notice that this TechEd demo user story has an updated title from VSO. So that's just a sync that's constantly running and communicating. Now, if I'm in Visual Studio Online, there's one extra thing that I want to be able to do. Has anyone seen the feedback client? A few people. So here it is. I'm building some code, and I want Jesper to review it, right? But Jesper's not part of my organization. He's not in my TFS server. He's nowhere near my TFS server. But I want to send him an email and let him provide feedback that will eventually get right to my development staff. Now, I could just send him an email and say, hey, could you please check this out, Jesper? But instead of that, I'm going to make a request from Visual Studio Online. So I'm going to go here to, I'm going to go to the home here of TechEd Tailspin. And right down here, I can request feedback. And I'm going to send it to myself. I could also send it to Jesper, but I won't pollute your inbox. But I'll say, go to this URL, https://acme.visualcadence.com/report. And I might say, open in any browser you like. This just tells you how to access the application and how you should focus your feedback. Please check the cumulative flow diagram. What I want is, Jesper, can you validate that the timeline is appropriate, et cetera, et cetera. I might also want you to check the color scheme. Yep. Is it pleasing? You can add gold, whatever we want to do. And what this is going to do is it's going to send an email out to allow me to do these various things. So I'm going to say, send that feedback tool, that feedback request, and that request is now going to reach out from Visual Studio Online and send it to me, acting as Jesper. Now, if Jesper does not have a license for TFS, it does not matter. I need a license to request feedback. You all can provide feedback with no license. And the beautiful thing is you can provide it separated from your TFS server in the cloud. So we're going to make that request. Did something pop up? By the way, I wasn't paying attention. Did I get an email? Just in case I didn't get an email in a timely fashion, I made one other request, right? Pull the cake out of the oven. This is the done cake. I want your feedback in the following. Start your feedback session. Ah, never mind. We have the one for. We have the new one. Good. Start your feedback session. I click start your feedback session. It gives me a warning. Is it trusted? And it fires up the feedback client. It also gives you a link if you don't have it. Now it says, hey, follow these instructions. Launch this in any browser you want. I'm going to go up and click this. Click next. And then I can start to provide feedback. Now, Jesper, I'm going to play you for a moment, right? And what I want to record is Jesper saying, screen with voice. In other words, you want to provide details to me. So you're going to record screen with voice. It's going to start recording. And Jesper, you'll say something like, okay, well, this looks good over here, but when I blow it up, I don't have the close button. I have to hit the escape key to close it because it's too big. That's weird for me. Okay, another thing is this color here, the done, this closed column, that really should be, I want it scaled differently. Maybe I want it to look like that, or it needs to scale better. I might add some comments, scale better. I might stop recording because that's all I needed for voice, and instead grab a screenshot and say, the timeline's appropriate. Yeah, the timeline looks good. And I'll go ahead and rate this item and click next. Now, is it pleasing? Check the color scheme. Yeah, I'll actually love it. Jesper, do you like it or not? 5 stars, 1 star? 2 stars, 2 stars. All right. Needs some work on this color scheme. Okay. And you might attach a file. You may do some other things, and you'll click next. Here's your feedback based on this tool, and you'll submit and close it. Now, you've submitted and closed that feedback response. So that's going to Visual Studio Online, where you're fine. You have permission to go. You can drop stuff on there if I grant you permission there. You can go drop stuff on there. But you have no permission down at my TFS server. And yet my developers want your feedback tied to the requirement, potentially. So if we go back and look at okay, what's the keystroke to open? Control-Shift-T. Yes! Thank you. Demo saved. Okay, let's go back in here and let's look at the queries. I'm in my Team Foundation server, and I'm not sure if it's here yet, but I have my feedback responses, and please check the CFD is right there. And let me open that one up and also check the color scheme. Let me open it up, and here's your screen recording with voice. There's a screenshot. There's an integration thing with the screenshot right now, but the timeline looks good. Screen recording with voice, if I open that up, it's actually going to download a WMV, which I can then watch at my convenience. Here's the power of that integration. As a development team, you sometimes need to reach outside of your environment to get feedback. And the feedback tool is a brilliant tool to get that feedback. The president of Northwest Cadence is in the back of the room. You want to raise your hand up there? There she is. So if we want to get in touch with Lori, we can do a couple of things, right? We can send her a feedback request. This is internal. And then she can just stack it up. It comes in her email. When she has a few minutes, she can open it up, look at the PowerPoint, hit record, use her voice to say, do this, do this, do this, change this, change this. I like this. I don't like this. Publish. And it goes right back to the person who built the PowerPoint. Contrast that with someone going to the person who kind of runs the office, Amanda, and having to say, Amanda, can you get me on Lori's calendar? Yes, how's Tuesday look? Right? If we want that very fast feedback, we can get that from something like the feedback client. And you can then extend that beyond your internal network by using Visual Studio Online. Thoughts on the feedback client? Yes. Say that one more time. So the question is, can third parties create work items instead of feedback? Yes and no. They'll need permission in. A feedback item is a work item type. But if you give them a stakeholder license, it's a new license available in Visual Studio Online, which lets you can have an unlimited number. They're free. They can add work items. They can review them. That's an excellent way to also bring in other people. The stakeholder license is coming to TFS on-premises in Update 4, which should be out any day, very shortly. Right? We'll have Update 4 out. And that brings that stakeholder license locally. But a local stakeholder license means you can't let Jesper in to make that happen. So he can grant Jesper that stakeholder license out in Visual Studio Online, he makes the changes and it pulls it in directly. So it gives you that balance between something that's wide open, like maybe some other tool, and something that's closed, like Visual Studio Team Foundation Server on premises, and it lets you adjust that balance rather cleanly between those two. Now, that's the integration manager. I have to recommend the Ops Hub Integration Manager if you're doing any type of big integrations or small integrations. But there's another tool called the TFS Integration Platform, which is free. I'm going to put that in giant quotes. It's free, as long as you don't include your time. You can download it from here, the Visual Studio place that I could not remember the name of, but you can download it from here, and you can go to CodePlex and get its source code, and then you install it on a server, making sure you follow the instructions very, very carefully, and you can build the integration between the two using this tool. Even though this is recorded, I am going to be very, very frank. This tool is supported by Microsoft, but it is not user-friendly. I have yet to see a successful migration or integration that did not require a substantial amount of babysitting, like hiring someone full-time to babysit kind of an integration. So be aware if you start to move to the integration platform that you are in for an entire world of pain. It's that bad. This is the latest release, the March 2012 release. I don't foresee any future releases coming. If you want to extend it at all, it was built with massively decoupled concerns and good architectural principles, but the end result, that is to do the simplest thing, you need to implement approximately 80 interfaces. So it's painful. Now, there's one other integration that's worth talking about, and that's Git. Git is becoming one of the world's most popular version control systems, and for good reason. Developers love Git. They love the ability to merge, to branch effectively. It just dramatically simplifies a lot of the things that you have to do over a centralized version control system like Subversion, like TF version control, et cetera. So there's good reasons, and a lot of people like it. But what's interesting is it comes with all of its history. So we can start to integrate and work between different things very easily. So let me go back out. I think we're going to hit another demo here and talk through what this might look like. I'm going to PowerShell. Well, let me not go to PowerShell first. That's probably premature. I'm going to go out to a scaled agile location. So I've got a Visual Studio Online project called Scaled Agile. It's for the Scaled Agile framework, SAFe. It's a way to scale Scrum teams and agility across an enterprise. And I've got a couple different things here. As an organization, Northwest Cadence does SAFe stuff. Here's where we might have courseware, metrics and reports that we use, and this thing called SAFe TFS. SAFe TFS is an open source project. The others are not open source, and we do not want to share, just willy-nilly. But we do want to share this SAFe TFS. So if we look at this SAFe TFS, it's a process template for Team Foundation Server that supports the Scaled Agile framework for enterprise software. And you can see that SAFe TFS is right here. But you can also see the same thing if you go to GitHub, because it's also hosted in GitHub. There's the SAFe process template. Notice that the last edit was remove all the asterisk wit files, as they're not needed by TFS. So it's out on GitHub as well. Now I can take that from my local environment. I have made a change to a file. I changed the readme.md file to add some details to it. And you can see that in Git, I'm going to do it from the command line. You can do it from Visual Studio. You can do it from a number of different tools. I'm partial to the command line with Git. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say git commit refactor readme.md to respond to questions regarding difference between SAFe TFS and the Microsoft guidance. I commit that file, and if I look, you'll notice I have two different places I can push it. I can push it up to my Scaled Agile project, and it's going to take all of my changes and push it up to my personal private repo in Visual Studio that I own, that I secure, that's SAFe. No pun intended. Let me go back to that location. And if I hit F5, you're going to see that I've made that change here just now in my Visual Studio Online account. But I have not yet pushed it because I don't necessarily want to share it with GitHub. But if I do, it's very, very easy to share to GitHub. I can simply go right to my command prompt again and say git push GitHub master. And I'm pushing my master branch to GitHub. And now I'm sharing that change with the rest of the world. It took me a while. I had to make a legitimate change to the project so it doesn't look silly in the open source world. But there it is. And it's up and it's pushed to that GitHub repository. And you'll see we refactored the README to respond to questions, da 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 da, 2 minutes ago. So this allows me to take VSO and communicate directly with GitHub, for instance, in an open source project that everyone, you all have access to. If you want to do Scaled Agile framework implementations, there's a process template for you. If you want to contribute to it, fork it, contribute, give me a pull request, and we'll put it in there. All of that is now there and available. But what if we wanted to push that to TFS? So we've got Visual Studio Online, and we want to push it to Team Foundation Server. I can go ahead and push that to Team Foundation Server trivially, and I'm going to do that as my last demo for this piece. And to do that, let me go to my Team Foundation Server. And I've got one called SAFe Process Template. And if I go look at the code, this is just a test one. That repository is completely empty. I've got nothing in it. It's completely empty, but I want to push to it. Now, if you note down here, it says, hey, if you have an existing repository, just add this to the bottom of it. Now, I'm going to have to do a couple changes. I already have an origin, but let me copy that. Paste it, and I have to make a couple changes. I have a remote called origin, so I'm going to change that to TFS. And one thing I have to do is adjust this because I've exposed my TFS to the web. And you can see now I have TFS, and I can say, well, let's go back. Let's do it the official way. Git push dash u origin all. But we're going to push it to TFS. Okay. I have now moved all of the work in VSO to this local repository. And if I check it out here, I'm going to hit refresh. And I love this about Git. If I look at the history, all of my history is there. I never lose your history with Git. So your history just goes with it as well. Yes? What about check-in policies? You can support some check-in policies with Git if you're hosting Git in Visual Studio Online or Team Foundation Server. GitHub does it differently. So what you have to do is if you're just in TFS and VSO, you're okay, but if you're using a secondary Git repo, Stash or GitHub or something, then it obviously won't apply to that one. Other questions? I find that Git integration is very, very common and easy if I want to open up my source code to external parties to work on. They can grab the source code, branch it, make a change, and give me what's known as a pull request so I can review their changes and then pull it back in to run it. Any questions? Either tool, both tools are great. There are definite cases for integration. I want reporting, but I also want to be able to communicate with other communities outside of my organization. VSO is great for that. I want to just be able to load test easily without having to spin up a bunch of machines to execute load and use up my bandwidth leaving the company to load test something that's maybe hosted in a data center somewhere. Just use Microsoft stuff. You want to do automated build. You want to automatically push your code to Azure. All of those things are a good reason to be in VSO. Here's some related context. If you're looking at VSO, there's a couple that I'll pull out. I'm using Git with TFS is a great one, or Visual Studio Online. It's a good Git one. Cross-platform continuous delivery with release management is basically Team Foundation Server. Best practices for using open source software in the enterprise is interesting. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's good. And make data-driven improvements to your application with Application Insights. I really recommend that one as a fantastic one to go see. Questions? Here's additional resources. Yes? Yes? Yes, so the question is, comparing OpsHub to the TFS integration platform, do we have success stories with OpsHub? Yes. OpsHub's one that's, I mean, you pay for it, so it comes with services, and they don't want to spend a bunch of time handling trivial bugs, so they fix those kinds of things for you. So OpsHub has a much, much better track record than the TFS integration platform. Right. So OpsHub, how do they manage conflicts in synchronization? Because you notice I could change them in both places. How do they handle that? There's a number of different ways. You can overwrite. One can be master. One can be the one that it takes all changes if there's a conflict. You can set up a conflict location that you go to and decide if you want to do it that way. It kind of depends. I mean, you can trigger code to run to make that determination that you would write. So there's a lot of different ways to handle those types of things. Yes? Yes, what's the recommended workflow for bringing in testing with Visual Studio Online? So if you're using Microsoft Test Manager or that, and you want to integrate all of that with TFS or VSO, they both behave almost identically. Yes, so here are the questions. What was your name? Say that again. Jeroen? Jeroen asks a great question. How do you handle states if you can't do any type of work item customization? You can still do this. I can go into my my work tracking system, and even though I can't change the underlying states, I can look at the board that I'm using. It's a kind of a visualization, and I can make any changes to the columns here. Like, you got resolved, that might be tested, and then waiting for deployment. And now you've got the waiting for deployment state in there, or column. So you can track it then visually like this. But the underlying states are new, active, resolved, and closed. And when I moved that to waiting for deployment, it stayed in the resolved state under the covers. But I can visualize it here. It's a nice, clean visualization. Other questions? All right, last thing that I want to bring up is go out and sign up for that VSO account. It's crazy because if you've got an MSDN subscription, now, it's free for everyone, but if you have an MSDN subscription, you might have elevated privileges in it. And it's right here, and there's a whole booth down there with six computers that you can just use to log in, or you can do it from here. And that wraps. Thank you very much. If you have any additional questions, feel free to come on up and ask me any questions, and I'll take them up here.